nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big homegrown tomatoes.
All right, it's time for In the Garden with Ed Bayarski and me, your co-host, Oren. In the Garden is brought to you in part by The Flower Farm, with greenhouses full of growing starts and baskets, pansies and viola blooming, stuff ready for Easter baskets, and apple and cherry, katsura, maple, golden chain trees, shrubs too, rhododendrons, burning bush, King Edward's ribes, lilacs, and more. Soil amendments available out there at the Flower Farm, 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. You can call them at 772-3464. Put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake dribble. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. We've got Ed Bayarski on the phone coming to us live from Juneau. It's mid-April. Gardening season is underway. How are you, Ed?
Well, I could be better. If I can shake off the pneumonia here, I can get back to gardening. I mean, I've been out doing some very slowly after our vacation, which wasn't the best of vacations. But I had a great time in New Zealand when we weren't coughing and hacking all over everybody.
Oh, boy.
So we're back. It's great to be back in southeast Alaska. It is. We've had highs in the low 60s last few days. It is magnificent. The stuff that's starting to bloom. There's a few primroses, snowdrops, crocus, hepaticas, and more out there blooming. Haven't seen any hummingbirds. Do you have any in Petersburg yet?
We had a hummingbird spotted last week. I think it was on Wednesday of last week was the first one. But, yeah, they exist.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, we've got robins. Quite a few mosquitoes are out.
Ooh.
And saw my first bumblebee yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So all of those, of course, are good signs that spring is coming, and we need to get out and work in our garden.
Right. It's time. Oh, sorry you're feeling under the weather. That's... You know, that's why I never take vacations. You know, the fear of flu.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If I talk to folks around Juneau, and the doctor, too, we talked to on Tuesday, and he said there's a lot of it around. So
that's true.
Whether we took it, incubated it on the plane flight over to New Zealand, and then brought it back with us. So it's been almost 2 weeks, and I'm ready to be over it, but
you're ready.
I'm going to press on carefully so I don't set myself back.
Yeah.
But the plants are waiting.
Right.
So yeah. I've been uncovering garlic beds, and garlic's up 2 to 4 inches. Looks very good.
All right.
Perennial beds that were covered, my propagating beds of primroses and lots of other stuff, been uncovering those. A few things are starting to flower or are showing color. A lot more are certainly starting to grow. So getting that off and open, letting them air out is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Then looking at those other beds, I've got some beds that were covered and they're waiting to be planted, of course, with everything from peas and carrots and all the rest of that, beets and the Swiss chard.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly beds, if other people did not keep their beds covered over the winter. Covering them up now, assuming they're all cleaned up, there's no old stems and stalks from last year, will really help to warm the soil. And that will help warm up, wake up the soil microorganisms. We can, before we cover those beds, can mix in fertilizer, mix in organic fertilizer, mix in compost. And again, all of that helps with the help of the microorganisms, to start breaking it down into forms that the plants can use. So there's a lot of things we can do out there. And the other really important thing, and I suppose maybe it hits me hard, is that start out slow.
Mm.
You know, we've got this great weather. We want to get out there and do everything, rake the lawn, clean up the whole garden bed, and all of that stuff. But really pace yourself.
Yeah.
So that you don't, you know, your shoulders ache, you wake up on Sunday morning or Monday morning and you can hardly move because you did too much over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So really do some stretching exercise and such first, even before you get out there in the garden. And then, depending which tools you're using, again, try to be kind of careful how you're using them and don't be so enthusiastic. I don't know about you, but I'm still finding frozen ground.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I dig a shovel or a fork down in, I'm still hitting frozen ground down there 6 inches deep because it was so cold.
Right.
So, again, but we can turn the topsoil and especially that loose, dark, moist soil, if covered with clear plastic, really warms up a lot. And then, again, that helps thaw out that deeper soil to get us closer to planting time. But right now, I did way back when we had a little break in at the end of January and things thawed out some. I thought the top few inches thawed out in my hoop house, so I planted spinach and shallots and kale, and they are all sprouting now.
Mm.
They finally got enough of the signal that the warmth, the moisture, that and the light, all that to help them sprout.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what I wanted to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my spinach, I wasn't sure was going to survive from last September. It got down to 4 degrees in my greenhouse.
Wow.
But it's growing.
Nice.
And we'll be eating that in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like it proves itself even hardier and hardier every year. It's pretty amazing.
That's awesome. So the kale and other greens that you just mentioned in your hoop house, did you plant those just directly seeds into your 2 inches
yep.
of soil? Cool.
Yep. I mean, the ground was frozen 3 inches deep below them.
Right.
So, but the top few inches thawed out. This is the end of January. I figure, well, what the heck? You know, seeds are cheap. Well, I mean, the kale, I've got quarts of kale seed that I saved of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And even the spinach seed is stuff I saved myself. So the seed was cheap, and I just scratched things up a little bit, planted a... So I've got, 4 rows that are 3 feet long. You know, but still, that amount of spinach and kale will give me a tremendous amount of eating.
Mm-hmm.
In a month to the spinach, of course, will go to bolt by the end of May, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But the kale, that'll probably go all summer long. I'll plant more a succession
mm-hmm.
of those crops. The shallots went in just because I didn't get them in last fall when I wanted to, but that's okay too. They're fine being spring planted, and they're popping up very nicely.
So
other stuff can be planted too. You know, if you've got a hoop house, if you've got a way to put hoops over your gardens,
mm-hmm.
your soil is warm already, and have that fertilizer in it, then you can start with everything from Swiss chard and beets,
mm-hmm.
Radishes, spinach, a variety, I mentioned kale, a variety of other assorted mustard greens. All of that can be planted now
right.
in the garden, outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Even peas could likewise, but then you should, for all of these, put some clear plastic over them,
mm-hmm.
but raise the plastic above the soil level.
Oh.
Say by 4 inches or a little more.
Oh, okay.
So that the little plants, when they do sprout, don't cook right underneath that hot stuff. Because it's with weather like this, when it's clear, that top couple inches of soil will get to be 90 to 100 degrees.
Mm-hmm. So if we're planting in our hoop houses from seed right now, beets and other assorted appropriate greens, we want to raise plastic over it, and are we worried about watering, or do we want to just plant them into sort of damp soil and let them do their thing for a while, or what's the best?
Well, I would hope that the soil is damp.
Yeah.
My hoop house stays fairly dry, so yeah, I definitely have to make sure I water that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you don't want to put them into really dry soil. So, but having that, and your other alternative, you know, which will, it'll be slower, but you can also use the white we mentioned, the Remay, the horticultural fabric.
Mm-hmm.
That too, that won't won't quite hold as many degrees of heat as the clear plastic will, but it also does help to insulate a little bit, mm-hmm. more than the clear plastic does.
Right.
So that even though it won't get as warm during the day, it shouldn't cool off quite as much at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's there's a benefit there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, everything, we're really trying hard to help Mother Nature warm the soil faster so we can get gardening quicker.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And so is that the main activity that we should be thinking about the next week or two while mm-hmm. we're working in the garden?
Oh, there's lots more. seed starting indoors, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to start calculating when are we going to be able to plant into the garden or into the greenhouse. Folks could be certainly starting cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts plants now
mm-hmm.
for transplanting, lettuce, Swiss chard. If they like to start seeds into plants and to put out in the garden, because those, again, you look at the seed packets, are likely to say 4 to 6 weeks to transplanting time.
Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes would be, as long as you've got a greenhouse, you could still start some tomatoes. And I bought a couple more varieties today because a couple of mine didn't sprout, unfortunately, which is kind of unusual, but... So I'm going to try a couple of other varieties that are still early varieties that have grown in the past. Still too early to be planting cucumbers and squash, in my opinion. But then there's stuff in our root cellars or storage, like fuchsias and begonias and dahlias that need to come out,
mm-hmm.
out into the light. Start watering them, warm them up, and as they start to sprout and grow... then they can be fertilized, potted. They have to be kept warm, though, because those are semi-tropical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to stay in the house yet until it gets warmer outdoors.
Right.
Or out in the greenhouse where you can put them.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good list of chores for the coming week. Yes, indeed. And any other... tips for folks who are starting to get move in? I know it really is. I want to reiterate the point you made right at the beginning that we all got to take it a little bit easy as we dive in. It's been a long winter. We've been impatient. We're itching to get out there, get working in the garden. And, there's flus going around. It's not quite as warm as we think it is sometimes when we're out there all day sweating.
Oh, no, sure. That's true. But again, getting out there is therapeutic by itself, just out in the sunshine.
That's true.
Even if I have to just put a lawn chair out here and just soak it in for a while.
Totally.
That's worthwhile for me.
Yeah.
But then also the cleanup that we're doing, there are slugs out there. And that's something, too, we can be looking for as we're turning over, as we're doing our cleanup work, turning over leaves, turning over boards or rocks or any of that kind of stuff. Maybe have your ammonia water spray there handy. To thin them out. I've been talked to a lady from Tenneke this morning, and she was saying that these black slugs over there are just going crazy, and they're walking their paths like within a quarter mile of their house, and they're killing slugs every day, every morning,
wow.
or evening,
yeah.
And just tremendous quantities of them.
Oh, wow.
So this is something that has really, I guess, taken over in their neighborhood especially, and these big black slugs are even starting to eat salmon carcasses, which of course are high protein, and God only knows what that's going to turn into.
Oh,
so she said it's a severe battle.
Wow.
That they're having over there. So if you think you have it bad in Petersburg with slugs, well, of course you've got deer. Well, they've got deer too, so it's a still the pests are out there. So that's something to keep in mind, that eliminating them now, of course, will help more later.
Right.
Or hopefully there won't be more later if we do eliminate them now. So keep at that end. And again, if you've got deer issues, have had deer issues in the past, think about the fencing that needs to be done to protect your garden.
Yeah. So what's a real quick checklist of like ammunition that people could be thinking about as they're turning their soil, uncovering stuff, and they are seeing slugs? So what's the best weapons for people to use against slugs? Should we be just picking them up?
The old two-finger squish works, But some of these slugs are pretty darn tough. So if you've got a knife or a pair of old scissors or something like that, that's handy. You can have a little container, you know, just a yogurt cup or something like that with some salt water in it. You just drop them in. That works. And that, as well as when you're finding slug eggs, those little tiny pearls along the way, the same thing. Those can go in there, too. They can be squished also. So that's about as simple as it gets, mm-hmm. as well as having, like I mentioned, half and half ammonia and water mm-hmm. in a small spray bottle, uh-huh. spray on the slugs or on the eggs, and that will kill them. Okay. And, again, that doesn't really harm the soil. The ammonia, along with the dead slugs, help fertilize the soil.
Oh, it does? The ammonia plus slugs is good for the soil?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yes. Because there are a lot of the fertilizers we have, particularly the nitrogen fertilizers, have ammonia or ammonium ions in them, which might be a little, well, it's no more technical than you need to have, but it is one of the ways that nitrogen is available to the soil, to the roots, to the soil microorganisms.
Right, right. Huh. Well, that's good to know. That's one mark on the pro ammonia column.
It is, rather than using, like I mentioned, using a soil, or I should say using salt. Salt is not so good for the soil.
Right.
So there, you know, if you get your couple of salted slugs, I guess that means you've got to pickle them, add some spices to them, and then let us know how that turns out.
Oh, I think we've got a caller on the line, Ed. We've got a caller on the phone who wants to join this conversation.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, here we go.
You there?
Hey there, line one.
Hi, Oren. Hi, Ed. Hey, just a heads up maybe for next week about hanging plants, planter boxes, like reviving the soil, especially if you had like the depleted soil, how to kind of get it ready. But maybe Ed could think about that for next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good topic that we can dig into, reviving depleted soil for hanging plants.
And that goes for all those potted plants like the begonias, fuchsias, and dahlias that, you know, I store them away usually in my garage as is, and then pull them out, usually do some cleanup work, and then do some soil improvement also. So maybe since I'll be out of town, I will probably what we record will probably include some of that.
Okay.
Great. Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Oh, Ed, we've got another caller. People are excited. Great. Here we go. Here's one more. Hey, line three, you're on with Ed.
Hi. Thanks, Ed, for being on the show. It's so helpful for novices like me. I just want to tell you, I've been 2 months getting over the crud you're talking about, so keep cheerful about it. And just think, if you're 2 weeks, you just have a little bit longer to go, and you'll be fine. My question is, I got a lot of alder dried leaves off from my neighbor last fall, and I just covered my whole yard, garden, and everything. And when I came now, I thought they'd all be kind of mushed up, but they're just sitting there like when I left them. Should I just get them, rake them off and start over, or to dig it into the soil as like mulch? Or what's the best thing to do?
Some of both. The alders, as you say, they're dry for now until it rains, of course, again. But certainly you could, your couple traces, you could certainly throw them into your compost bin, mix those with what is probably, if you've got compost bin, that may be rather soggy at this point. That will help to actually loosen up and the compost, and again, start to kind of wake up your compost. Throw in a little fresh seaweed in there and some other good stuff, and away it should go, hopefully. But otherwise, even just continuing to use this as mulch, pull it back, do your planting, even whether you save this in buckets or bags or something like that, it could be used for mulching potatoes later on in the season. You know, as you're hilling your potatoes, you can throw some of those alder leaves back in there around them, that would work really well, too.
Okay, I don't have a compost pile, per se. I just was it dug it back into the soil where they are.
Sure, but, okay.
So, it's options. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Don't throw them away. Don't haul them to the dump, whatever you do. Definitely the alder leaves is an extra source of organic matter. Definitely a resource to be used in and around the garden. You know, can you be used in your flower garden as far as that goes if you want.
Okay, well, thank you. And just drink lots of water and rest, and you'll be on the road to recovery.
All right. Thanks for the advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, caller. Oh, great. Cool. Well, nice to get some listeners out there chiming in and receiving good advice and giving some too. Well, Ed, why don't we might think about winding it down here. I see our next volunteer host is ready and eager to hop on the air here. Shout out.
And my water glass is empty, so I better get some more water.
Okay, exactly.
As your caller suggested, and try to stay hydrated so I can get back out there into the garden.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, and like you kind of alluded there, next week it won't be a call-in, but we'll pre-record one because Ed's going to be traveling again, and then we'll be back in, available to take calls the following week. So, yeah, that sounds good. And, Ed, thank you so much for joining us here on In the Garden, and I look forward to talking to you real soon.
Okay. Yep, just give me a call back, Oren, and we can record when we get a chance.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that's been another episode of In the Garden with Ed Bajarski, and that's sponsored in part by The Flower Farm, with greenhouses full of growing starts and baskets, pansies and violas blooming ready for Easter, and out at the farm there's apple, cherry, katsura, maple and golden chain trees, and lots of shrubs, soil amendments available to help get things started. They're open every day but Wednesday, 772-3464, located at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. That's The Flower Farm. All right, until next week, we'll be back with more In the Garden. And that's true love, homegrown tomatoes.
Well, you can go out to eat, that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, what'll I be without